And we have been looking at what? Spiritual warfare. We've been looking at spiritual warfare for, this is our 10th week. And I really did not think it would go 10 weeks, but the more I dig, the more I find. In fact, what I'm finding out is we are called to live a life of spiritual warfare. Our life is supposed to pattern the life of a warrior. And so everything that we do in our Christian walk really has something to do with spiritual warfare, as you have kind of noticed. And you're probably thinking, when is Pastor Jim going to get to that place on spiritual warfare where we pray? Today is the day. And you're like, oh, thank goodness. Maybe this thing will get over. Don't count on it, okay? The Holy Spirit is leading this, and we're learning a lot, and we're having a lot of fun along the way, and we're learning the seriousness of our walk. So this morning we are going to look at fighting the good fight, 10, spiritual warfare 101, because this is kind of the basics of it, but not the basics. The basics are always the important things. If we learn our basics, we will thrive in life as we get further along. 2 Timothy 4:7 says, Paul says this, he says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. And we found out in the last few weeks, to be effective in spiritual warfare, we need to know three things. We need to know who we are, we need to know who the enemy is, and we need to know how to fight. Now, who you are a child of the God, a child of God, the only God, the Most High God. You are His child, and with that heritage comes an inheritance of power and might, protection and glory, a lot of things. We looked at a lot of those things, and once we know who we are, we don't let the enemy walk over us and beat us up. We don't let him beat us up in our minds, we don't let him beat us up in the world, and we definitely don't let him beat us up personally when he shows up, okay? And then we found out who the enemy is. Well, we can be our own best enemy in our mind, right? We can defeat ourselves before the enemy ever has a chance to do it. Think about it. When's the last time you thought, well, you know, I should do this, and then, man, what pops into the head is, oh, I don't think I can do this. I don't think I could ever, I can't do this. Well, there's a lot of things out there God has empowered you to do, God wants you to do, and if they weren't impossible, they wouldn't be God. If you could do it on your own power, you could do it on your own power. But God says, no, I want you to step out. I've given you specific gifts, specific skills, but he says, I want you every once in a while, when I nudge you, I want you just to take that step of faith, and I want you to get out there, and I want you to do something in my power. Keeping in mind that Christ is behind us all the way, keeping in mind, remember I said mind, keeping in mind that Christ is behind us all the way, we don't have to live in our past failures. We don't have to live in our, well, I don't know. We don't have to live in that. Because God is there for us. But in no way should we keep the devil in a place where we look at him lightly. Because he's very powerful. He's very deadly. The scripture that says that he walks around like a roaring lion, a lot of people don't teach the rest of that scripture. He said, looking for someone to devour. That means that he's powerful. He can consume us. And his sole purpose in life, his sole purpose for existence is to kill us, to maim us, to destroy us, to steal from us, and to lie to us. So anytime you're dealing with any aspect of the enemy, you know that he's there to do you harm. So be careful. Don't play with it. Don't play with fire. You will get burned, right? So we know that. Now, how to fight? Last week, we looked at letting God bring His love and His glory into your house. And not just, we didn't talk just about our relations, our biological relations. We talked about the house of God, the universal church. We talked about how when we go places, we always, before too long, we know if someone is a part of our family, the family of God. We talk with those people. We just feel something in our spirit. And pretty soon we're talking about Jesus. How many times have you been traveling, you've been someplace, you've been in Spearfish, and you know somebody stops and they want to, you know, to ask directions to go someplace, and you say, hey, you know, go here, and you're talking, and then pretty soon it just leads to one thing, and pretty soon you're talking about Jesus. You're talking about what God is doing in their sphere of influence, in their family. Biological family is great, but I'll tell you what, we got a much bigger family spiritually. And letting God's glory shine in our house, letting God's glory shine in our family is very effective. It's the most effective tool of warfare that a lot of people neglect. And we're going to talk about it a little bit more. You see, who we are is what we conquer. Who we are. If we are children of God, if we let His glory into our house, into our family, who we are, it becomes conquered. When my dad was saved years and years and years ago, he was the first born-again Christian in our family. And now it's spread out all over the place in our family. Okay? Me, my sister, my brother, cousins, all of our grandparents that have passed away, they passed away knowing the Lord. Because once you get that in your family, once your family becomes a family of God, the most important thing is adopting more and more and more and more people in that family, biological or non-biological. And that's what we want to do. It's very powerful. The enemy hates it when we're family. The enemy would much rather be that we're liturgical and we're cold and we're religious. Because once we become family, we are really a very, very strong force that causes him a lot of pain. And I don't know about you, but every enemy I've ever had that was involved in satanic activity, I wanted to cause that entity pain in Jesus Christ. If somebody comes against my family, I want to cause them pain. You know, you can spit in my face, but you slap my wife, you are in trouble. You know, you try to take out somebody in our church, and man, I will take you apart spiritually. I'll start praying for you. I had a pastor and a mentor one time who was an old cowboy logger, and he said, when I get mad at the devil, I just strap on my two Colts, and instead I start shooting. And, you know, I thought that he was talking about that in a figurative sense, and one time he said, come on, we're going to go pray, and we went out to the range, and he strapped on two 45s, and he said, in the name of Jesus, bam, bam. And I mean, he was hitting that target, and he was praying, and he was scaring the crud out of me, and all the same time getting me all excited, and gave me a picture that every time we start praying, every time we walk in the faith of Christ, we are literally killing the schemes of the enemy in a real way, in just as real of a way as if we're shooting at a target and hitting it. And so today we want to talk about, how do we hit that target? How do we hit? We hit that target by doing this. We ask God to advance His kingdom into the world around us. We ask Him to advance His kingdom, and God gives us a very, very simple outline in doing that. And so many times the church has made this rhetoric, and it's made this liturgical, and it's made this just rote. We do it, we say it. And I think everybody here that's been a Christian for very long knows Matthew 6, okay, verses 9 through 13. Jesus was asked, how are we supposed to pray? Because his disciples saw him doing things that were amazing, doing things they'd never seen before. And so they said, how do we pray? How do we do this? Because Jesus spent a lot of time alone with the Father. When he was on this earth, he probably spent almost as much time prayer and in solitude with the Father to get his marching orders than he did marching. His evenings, his nights, he spent a lot of time praying. And Jesus told his disciples, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That is the model. That is the model of spiritual warfare right there. We can take that prayer. Jesus says, this is how you pray right here. And so a lot of times, you know, churches teach you, just say it over and over and over again. And I'm not saying that's ineffective, because it is. It is very, very effective, okay? Just speaking those words, because it says the words of God will never come back void. But if you want to really get some power behind your prayer, you need to understand exactly what this outline means, and that's what we're going to look at today. First of all, you got to ask yourself, when you start praying, our Father in heaven, you got to start asking yourself, who's my daddy? Who is your father? Okay? Is God the father that he wants to be in your life? Think about that. I remember my teenage years, And my physical dad wanted to be so much more for me because he really hadn't been there for a while, and he got saved and he wanted to be so much more. And it was so different in that transition. And so many times we come to Christ, our sin goes behind us, and that transition is very, very awkward. Because all of a sudden we see, you know, we see the difference. We used to see God as this great big scary being up there that was sitting up there with a giant hammer just waiting for us to get out of line so he could whack us. And all of a sudden he's the Father that wants to embrace us and love us and change us and talk to us. You see, we need to get to that point where he is Abba Father. He's Daddy. I'll be real honest. I had a mentor a few years back, and we would get together and pray, and he would say, "Oh, Daddy, I love you so much." And I felt so uncomfortable with him calling God Daddy. I was like, can you do that? And then I looked in the Bible, and it said you call him Abba, which is the most endearing term for father, for daddy, that there possibly is in that language in the Bible. And so I tried it. And I'm still getting there. But I want to be that son, and I want God to be that father that he wants to be in my life. You see, we say, "Father, hallowed be thy name." What does that mean? There was one little boy, you know, somebody said, "Well, do you know God's name?" And he goes, "Yeah, his name is Harold." You guys probably heard this one? Huh? A little guy, he goes, "Yeah, God's name is Harold." And they say, "Well, why do you say God's name is Harold to Sunday school teacher?" Well, because we pray that all the time. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," you know? Hallowed is a very difficult term, but if you want to break it right down to the brass tacks, this is what hallowed means. It says, "Our Father in heaven, honored be your name." And what Jesus was telling us, he said, "I want you to ask God to grow you to the point where you're honoring his name." I didn't always honor my dad's name when I was growing up. You know? Tell you a story. One time, Dad came home and he wondered why his car was parked in the garage. I said, "Well, it looked like maybe it was going to storm." The honest part of that was I was racing around Rapid City. The cops were chasing me, and I hid it in the garage. My dad wondered why he kept getting pulled over by the police and how surprised they were when they had an older gentleman driving that car. But anyway, my brother got caught. But you see, I really wasn't honoring my dad's name by my actions. And that's what spiritual warfare is all about. It says, "Our Father, who's in heaven, we want to honor your name. We want to be a part of who you are. We want to be everything that you are. We want to grow into the likeness of Christ so that wherever we're at, we are light to the world and the enemy just gets out of the way." That's what it's about. That's what it's about. And this is how we pray. "Lord, I want to be that person that when I show up, I am armed, I am ready, in season and out of season. I've got the armor of God on. I've got your love within my heart. I've got your salvation in my head. I've got the word of God just totally wrapped around me. God, that's who I want to be." And that's what this prayer is saying. "Our Father in heaven, we want to honor your name. Your name is honored." How is his name honored? His name is honored in the actions of his children. All of creation honors God. You can look at God and see God in creation everywhere you look. If you don't see a grand design in creation, I feel sorry for you because you're one of those scientists that has no hope and is going to die and turn back into dust. We are people who have a hope because we see the grand design of everything God's doing, and we want to bring honor to his name. We want to bring honor to his name. We want to step up to the plate. We want to love more. We want to do more. And we want to be more. And that's what God says there. Spiritual warfare has more to do with who you are than what you do. Think about that. Think about that. You can be doing all the right things, but if you're totally wasted inside, if you got nothing inside, you're just doing it because you're doing it. Your doing needs to line up with your being. A really good story, a really good illustration of this is in Acts 19:14. There were seven sons of Sceva. He was a priest.
And they were going around and they were casting demons out in Jesus' name. And they were having some success about it, and they must have become pretty popular because it's written about it in the Bible. Okay? Paul writes about it in the Bible in Acts. And what happens is they come up to this guy who's got this demon, and they start, you know, praying and trying to cast this demon out. And the demon, the guy looks at him, the demon inside this guy says, "Jesus, I know." Can you imagine these guys? You know, they've been dealing with these little petty demons that are like, "Oh, we better get out of here. They said Jesus." You know, and they finally come up against this big demon, and the demon looks at him. This guy looks at him, the demon speaks to this guy. He says, "Jesus, I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you?" And then the demonic guy beats him up, and they run off. You see, a very good example of it is more important about your being than your doing. You can go around and you can do a lot of good stuff, but I'll tell you what, if you do not have the fullness of Christ in your life, if you do not have what it takes to honor God and be an honorable child, eventually you're going to run up against something, and the enemy's going to say, "Who do you think you are?" And you're just going to say, gulp, instead of saying, because you're ready for it, say, "I am a child of God. I am full of the Holy Spirit. And I have a mandate to push back the darkness and the evil in this world. I have the power of God to do everything God has called me to do. I have a mantle. I have an assignment." And that, you know, a lot of people say, "Yeah, our pastor's got a mantle and assignment." You have a mantle and assignment over wherever you're at. Because guess what? There's only so many pastors. There's only so many people that are leaders. And if it wasn't for the whole army of God, the whole family of God, and if everybody just relied, you know, hey, how would you like to just, we got all the armed forces in America. We get in trouble. And all the soldiers, they just keep looking up, and finally we look at Donald Trump. "I love our president, but I don't think I want to send him to Iraq with an AK, you know, or with an AR-16. I want the guys who are equipped to know what they're doing. And God has told us, you need to go out and you need to do this. You need to be equipped. We're spiritual warriors. We're all in this together. We're all there. We all have a part. And we're all very, very important to God. You see, His name, His Father. Lord, are you honored in me?" See, when our being is in God and our doing follows, His kingdom is established on the earth. It just happens. When you have light and you walk into a dark place, it's lit up. It's just the way it is. But you got to have that light. You got to spend time. You know, there's a story about the virgins that ran out of oil and their lights went out, and that's what God's saying. He said, you keep your wicks trimmed, you keep your oil in your lamp. The oil of the lamp is the symbolic of the Holy Spirit. God says, "I want you to be there. I want you to be ready." Okay. Now, when our being is in God, our doing follows, and His kingdom is established on earth. You know, the next part of this prayer: "Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." I want God's kingdom in my house. I want God's kingdom in my church. I want God's kingdom in this city, in this town. I want God's kingdom in this country. I want God's kingdom in the world. Every place I go, I want God's kingdom. And when we have that attitude, God says, "Wow, now there's somebody I can use. There's somebody that no matter what happens, that person will stop. That person will talk to somebody. That person will help somebody." You know, we live in this wonderful place in America where people like to come and visit because it's pretty. And people will stop, "Hey, do you live here?" I just love those words. "Hey, do you live here?" Because I know that I'm gonna do one of many things. Find them a good place to eat, a good place to stay, or a great church to go to. "Do you live here?" And, you know, usually one of the last things they find out about me is that I pastor this church. In fact, they might not find out about it until I invite them here, and they come, and they're like, "Oh my goodness, he's the pastor. What a sneaky guy," right? But you see, "Your kingdom come, Your will be done." Father, I want Your will to be done everywhere I'm at. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, look, God wants His will. God wants His kingdom to come wherever we're at. And it's so many times we're over here in our prayer closet. We go, "Oh God, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." "Oh, I don't see His kingdom yet." "Oh God, Your kingdom come, Your will be done. Earth is in heaven. Glory, hallelujah. I don't see it yet." And God's saying, I want you to go out because you are the kingdom, you are the glory, and you are God's will, and you are His kingdom come. His kingdom come came in you the second you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And the second that that happened, you have the power to go out and spread His kingdom. I remember a young man years ago who I arrested numerous times for drug problems. He went to prison, he came out, and somebody said, hey, he's looking for you. And I went, oh, poop. And I avoided this guy because he was bad news. And then one day I was coming out of I was going into a restaurant, and he was standing right there, and I went, oh, and he was a big guy. And I went, oh, and right there. And he put his arms around me, he hugged me before I could get my arms up. He got a hold of me, I thought he's going to kill me. And he hugs me, he goes, thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise God. Go, for what? So I went to prison and got saved. And I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Your kingdom come. I thought my kingdom was coming right there, you know? But God is saying, I want your kingdom to go everywhere with me. I want my kingdom to go with you everywhere. That's what I meant. God's saying, you are the kingdom. You are the kingdom. The second that this guy got saved, he started spreading, you know. I mean, he'd been saved like all of about 2 or 3 weeks. We were sitting there having coffee. And, you know, some of his friends came in and say, hey, come on over and sit down. And they're kind of looking at me like, yeah, I don't think so. But they did, you know. And we're sitting there. I mean, he looks at me and he says, do you know how much Jesus can change you? You know, he's talking to people that are still in the trade, in the world, right? And I thought, wow, there the kingdom just came, right there. Do you know how much Jesus can change you? And he wasn't doing it in an offensive way. I mean, he was doing it in a real powerful, kind of scary way for his friends. But he wasn't like saying, oh, you know, you're going to turn or burn. It's like, do you know how much Jesus can change you? Do you know how much Jesus can change your life? Do you know what it feels like to be loved? I mean, totally loved. Do you know what it feels like to be forgiven of your sins? I mean, he put on the pressure. Yeah. Your kingdom come, your will be done. God's kingdom is a kingdom of love. It's a kingdom of power. It's not a spirit of fear, but love, power. Remember the scriptures? All these scriptures that tell us who we are, what we are, what we're supposed to do. They're the kingdom of God. Our life is the kingdom of God with feet. That's what God's saying here. Now, when God's kingdom is in our lives, the enemy is defeated. And I'm going to try to sum this up pretty fast. But the enemy is defeated in three main areas when the kingdom's in our lives. Okay, number one, when we say, give us this day our daily bread, our trust and reliance on God blocks the enemy's influence in chasing after the things of this world. You know, the prayer right here says, this is how you do spiritual warfare. It says, okay, give us this day our daily bread. Our trust and reliance on God blocks the enemy's influence in us chasing after the things of this world. I tell you what, you are not alone in chasing after the things of this world. I have chased after the things of this world. I will probably continue at times to chase after the things of the world. I will be tricked into chasing after. But when we go to God every day and say, God, give us this day our daily bread, and we know that God is giving us everything we need, God is taking care of us, we have just blocked the enemy right there. When something comes up, we're like, no, I don't need that because God's going to take care of it. I don't need to worry about that. That doesn't mean that we're careless in our financial responsibilities. It doesn't mean that we're careless. But God says, I am here to provide for you. So don't try to scheme. Don't try to cheat. Don't try to lie. Don't try to figure out something that's outside of my purpose. You just do what I want you to do. I'm providing for you. I'm here for you. The enemy's blocked. And not only is he blocked, but we can teach other people that relying upon God is a blessing that is amazing. You don't need a lot of things that the world tells you that you need, okay? So our trust and reliance blocks because we know that God's provision is enough. Secondly, we live a life of forgiveness and grace so that we're not held prisoners to our past. Spiritual warfare is about letting people know you are not held by the sins, by the failures of your past. Jesus Christ has taken care of it. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sinned against us. Living in forgiveness, we're living in forgiveness in God, and that's so powerful. So far, you're not looking over your shoulder wondering if there's a warrant out for your arrest. It's like, whoa,
Is there a warrant? Is there somebody going to come up on me? Like a guy one time who had like 30 parking tickets in New York that he never paid. He moved to Wyoming. He got pulled over about 3 weeks after he lived in Cheyenne. And the police officer says, sir, I'm sorry, but I have to take you to jail. And he goes, what? I haven't broken the law in Wyoming. He says, no, sir, but you broke the law in New York. He said, they were parking tickets. He said, it doesn't matter. You never paid them. The state of New York issued a warrant. Once a warrant is issued, you go to jail. See, we don't have to worry about something that happened in our past life sneaking up and getting us anymore. What freedom? What spiritual power? I mean, that is something to share with somebody. Say, you know something? God forgave me of all of these things. God has acquitted me. I was indicted for sin. I was indicted for failure. I was indicted for all his weakness. And God says, you're clear. Now go be powerful. Go tell people, just like that guy was telling you about. Do you know how good it is to be loved? Do you know how good it is to be forgiven? Do you know how good it is to be different? That's spiritual warfare. Thirdly, we are guided by God away from any evil desire, thought, trap, lust, compromised relationship, business dealing, unhealthy, or harmful decisions. That's the fine print in the clause. I'll read it again. We are, okay, guided by God away from evil desire, evil thoughts, traps, lust, compromised relationship, business dealings, unhealthy or harmful decisions, and a lot of other things. Because we say what? Say, God, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. Remember I said the evil one, he's very powerful, he's very tricky, he's very sneaky, and all he wants to do is kill, harm, or destroy you. This is spiritual warfare. We pray this and we really mean it. We go out every day with a shield around us, a protective shield around us, God shielding us. And once the enemy starts working on us, we can say, wait a minute, no, this is not going to happen. I'm gonna sum all of this up, and this scripture is in our bulletins this morning, because I want you to take this next scripture with you, and I want you to realize that when you pray that model of spiritual warfare in the Lord's Prayer, this is what you're getting. This is the package you're getting. You see, David knew this kind of relationship with God. He knew that God was his father. He knew that he had something very special there. He knew that he could rely upon God. And David was a man who sinned. He was a man who failed. But he was a man who also succeeded in the ways of God. And towards the end of David's life, it says that after all of his enemies had been put to rest, David wrote this incredible declaration in 2 Samuel 22. And I've just put the like seven verses of it, 30 through 37, about all the things that Daniel basically shares with us as promises that God has given us when we walk in this kind of a walk, this spiritual warfare walk with God. And this is what it is. He says, with your help, I can advance against a troop. And with my God, I can scale a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You give me your shield of victory. You stoop down to make me great. And you broaden the path beneath me so that my ankles do not turn. Wow. That's just a portion. That's just a portion of 2 Samuel 22. And this is after David was anointed the king way before he was. This is after David fled Saul. This is after David and Bathsheba. This is after David in the trouble with his children. This is after all of those things. And David looks back on his life and he says, look, I wasn't perfect, but this is who God is. This is who God was for me. And this is who God is for you. And I want you to remember it. I want you to read it. I want you to study it. And I want it to become a part of you, who you are, so that you can walk out your spiritual warfare. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you and we thank you so much that you're there. I thank you that you showed us everything we need. You've given us everything we need. The power of the Holy Spirit living in us teaches us daily. It teaches us moment by moment. Father, we thank you for that. And now, Lord, I pray that these words, the words of you, the words of Paul, the words of Jesus, the words of the Holy Spirit, the words of King David, all inspired by you through the Holy Spirit, I pray that all of these words, Lord, will make a home in our hearts, make a home in our spirits, make a home in our minds, so, Lord, we can walk out our faith. Just like Paul says in 2 Timothy, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. Lord, that's our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.